Hey man, hey bro, hey bro, hey man, that was my idea. No, I had that idea. No, I had that idea, bro. No, listen, really, I had that idea. Man, I remember I was thinking and I had this idea once, and man, that guy took that idea. I was thinking about that idea. That idea, literally, that was my idea. No, like, seriously. I had that idea. If I just would have taken that plunge, I mean, I wrote it down. All I needed was a few more dollars. Like, that idea was my, I was thinking about that. You're not gonna believe it. I thought about that. Hey man, it was my idea all the time. I was thinking about that. I had it in my brain. It was my I thought of that first, right? So, like, you know, the intros are always kind of like these teasers. And I just want people to like, come on, listen to the show. I was thinking as I was preparing this morning, like, man, the content is fire on these shows. I work really hard on the content. I really work hard on literally myself. This show is a blessing for me, and I really, really, really want to be a blessing for you. So I take the content very seriously, and a lot of it's moved, obviously, by the Holy Spirit, but there's things going on in my life that I just feel like that are very interesting. I mean, if I was an entrepreneur, startup entrepreneur. I was a business person. I was a person that was trying to figure out how certain people are doing certain things. I mean, this is the show I would tell people to watch, because the guy on the show, Todd Saylor, Wired Differently, Todd Saylor, he's pretty interesting. Now, I don't say that in an arrogant fashion. I'm just saying it from the facts are. What I've been through in life, what I'm doing in life, and what we're trying to prove on the show is that consistency wins. Every morning, 9 o'clock, consistency wins. Every morning, 9 o'clock, consistency wins. Every day, the companies I own and run, every day they run, consistency wins. I can literally do a show live every day and have 14 organizations moving mostly in harmony, right? So the example that I want to set for you is how to win at business, how to win at life, how to win in a Christian world mindset, right? In this world. Because I want to remind you that we're wired differently, America. Now, come on, now, somebody, listen. I want you, the mindset, mission, and movement and ministry of this Wired Differently podcast, show, coaching, whatever, is literally, I want you to wear your faith. I want you to put on a jersey for Jesus. I want you to literally be a light out there in this world, because we are misfits in this world. I got to do some review every now and then. I got to share people with what this is all about. I'm going to teach here quickly today, and I'm going to talk to you about opportunities or opportunists, and how I want to call you to be opportunity-driven individuals. But I also need you to understand that this mindset, mission, movement, ministry, right? Wired differently. And I want you to follow this. I want you to be a part of it. I want you to listen to these shows. I want you to take some notes. I want you to make comments. I have had so many great comments this week. I know I get a little mushy sometimes, but man. There's been some heavy stuff this week, you know, with my dad and everything. And I'm gonna continue to share, you know, my life with you. Because the stories I tell you are true. The stories I tell you are not fiction stories. You know, I tell you stories of my business escapades. I tell you stories of my marriage. I tell you stories of my family. I tell you stories of the donut capital of the world. I tell you stories. It's not arrogant stories. It's just like truth. And I think that it's not commonplace that we look on the Facebook, the Twitter ditter, the Instagram, or whatever it is, and you have leaders out there willing to tell on themselves and share some of these things. So I want to encourage you through the consistency. I want to encourage you through the transparency, and I want to encourage you through Christianity, the only faith that you can't work your way to heaven through, the only faith that can literally bring you the truth through the gospel. And so this show is for me to help build you personally, spiritually, and profitably. And I think most of you understand that the word profitably stands for fruitfully. I want to make you money, but fruitfully, sometimes people aren't so hung up on money. Sometimes people are hung up on happiness and joy and, you know, time with their family and vacations and hanging out at the donut capital of the world. on Lake James, right? To me, that's fruitful. I don't think money is the answer to every problem out there. I don't think money makes you happy by any stretch of the imagination. It certainly can't create joy. Money can create happiness, but joy can only be created from within and what God has given us. Joy. I want to take you into opportunities. I want to segue and transition with the word joy because my grandchildren give me joy. My grandchildren blow me away. So on the cover of this video or the show this morning was my little granddaughter, Nora. And I wanted to actually put a picture of me and Judah, which is her older brother. He's six. And I was home for 2 days getting a back procedure last week. And I got to take them out. And Judah has got a memory like nobody's business. And Nora is an S, and she's a supportive person. She's a go-along, get-along until you cross her too much. But she's just certain. She's a four-year-old. Love these kids so much. And they wanted some papa time. And so we jumped in the truck. I said to my daughter, Kendra, and I said to her, I said, Derek, I got this. What hour and a half? I can take these kids, and we'll do something. And so they're like, good luck. So I get Judah. I pull over there to Judah. Jumps in the big truck, and Nora jumps in the big truck, and she jumps in. She won't let me buckle her in her car seat. She's pop, pop, pop. She's like, I can do this, Papa. You don't have to help me. So she's putting everything together. Really impressive. But Judah jumps in the other side. He's all buckled in, ready to go. And I remembered the last time I was with him, Judah was like literally all about doing something super special. And he had this idea where he wanted to go. And as we jumped in the car or the truck and we took off, it was just me and the 6-year-old Judah boy and the 4-year-old Nora girl. And we're driving away. And I said, you know, I was thinking, kiddos, the papa time, we should go to Target. And they went crazy, man. They're like, Target, Target, Target. And then like the noise settled down just a little bit. And then the little Judah man, I can hear him in the background. He goes, finally, he goes, hey, bro. He calls me bro. I like to roll that because I'm his bro. I think he means it in love. Hey, bro, that was my idea. What do you mean, Judah? He goes, last time we were together, like 3 weeks ago, Papa, I wanted to go to Target and you wouldn't take me to Target. That's my idea. I'm like, okay. It's your idea. We're going, aren't we? He goes, yeah, bro, thanks. Appreciate it. Target! You know, and then off we were going. And I was just kind of thinking about that's my idea. And I was thinking, and Nora, you know, as he's saying that's my idea, Nora got real quiet like, oh man, you're messing with Judah's ideas. And I don't know why something just hit me in the head as I was studying Barnabas and Paul, the former Saul, in Acts 9, 26 and 27. And I'm thinking about Judah, who is a biblical character, I guess, is popping up in my mind, a strong leader, tribe of Judah. But the bottom line is, I just keep hearing this thing in my head. Hey, bro, that's my idea. And so I just want to kind of talk to you about, we're going to revisit yesterday, and we're going to talk about opportunities. We're going to talk about what I look for in people and opportunists and how important it is. And we're going to literally take Acts 9:26 today. Yesterday was Acts 9:27. And I'm going to review Acts 9:27, which is, we'll just do that quickly. And then we're going to hit in 9:26. And we're going to talk about those things. I'm super excited, bro, because you know what? It's my idea. No, really. What a great morning. What a great start. I hope you like the new background. I'm super excited about that. I got so many of the new backgrounds coming. So it just kind of changes the flavor up for all of us. So I'm picking on my grandson, Judah the Barracuda. And I'm with him. I'm hanging out. And as we go on a father or grandfather, grandson day with his sister Nora, who's 4 and Judah's 6. I'm looking for things to do, and I didn't think ice cream was the best thing. And I remember them saying a while back that, man, I wish Papa would take us to Target. And so this time we jump in the truck and we're taking off, and I got to figure out what I can do for the next 2 hours. And as I'm driving away, I said, hey, kids, I was thinking about maybe taking you to Target. And they start screaming, yeah, target, target, target. Like, can't you do something better than that, Papa, like a zoo or something? No, I can't because I the traffic's awful. In Sarasota, Anna Marie Island, you got to get, like, it's 45. Just being in the truck is an adventure, right? To me, let's go get to Target. So, and I'm not a Target person. I didn't even know where the Target was. And so as I'm driving, Judas looks at me and he says, you know, bro, that was my idea to go to Target. I'm like, I don't care whose idea this is. A great idea. Let's go do it. He goes, yeah. So he's all excited. He says, you don't even know how to get to Target, do you? And I didn't. I'm like, I just know there's a Target and we're going to go find our way to Target. He goes, bro, you don't even know how to get to Target. I said, I'll find my way. He goes, you know, Google Maps. I said, I'll figure it out. So the reason I'm using Judah as my transition here is because he's a brilliant young man. And Nora, she's my favorite granddaughter of all time. She's awesome. She's my only granddaughter, so I can say it really confidently. Super special kids. But what Judah said to me is what I want to teach on today is that's my idea. So what I want to do is go over yesterday real quick. And we were talking about how important it is that we're called to invest into other people. We're called to invest into other people. I want you to understand that you, if you're listening here, you're a misfit. You have Christ in your heart, hopefully, and you're working through life, and you're not like the rest of the people in this world. If you have Christ in your heart, you're wired differently, right? And so if you're wired differently and you have Christ in you, he's called us to invest in other people. Although the apostles are great examples, Christ is the best example of investing into, you know, literally starting with one and moving on to billions of people, right? But the story we're going to kind of crank back to is in Acts 9, 26 and 27. So yesterday we taught on Acts 27. It says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Paul on his journey has seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoke to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly the name of Jesus. And so Barnabas had literally saw Paul preaching after he had converted from a Christian killer to a Christian speaker. And Barnabas saw how well Paul was doing this over the course of 2 or 3 years. And so Paul was mentored by Barnabas, right? Paul was Saul, who became Paul, was mentored by Barnabas. And so that triggered me into this whole perspective of, you know, who are we Barnabasing? Who are we pouring into? Who are we really lifting up? Because if Barnabas would have never grabbed Paul, saw Paul, and invested into Paul, more than likely Paul would have not made it to the apostle. Because Barnabas was in tight with you, which were the 11 disciples that had converted to apostleship. We talked about that yesterday. They became apostles because they saw Christ walk on earth before and after he was crucified. Judas Iscariot went to Bloodfield and died and left us with 11 disciples who became apostles. Paul ends up becoming, not yet in this version, but ends up becoming the 12th apostle. I think that's how that works because I know that they picked up Matthias as the 12th disciple. So there may have been 13 apostles. But regardless of that, Paul becomes an apostle because he sees Christ after the resurrection. He sees Christ on Damascus Road, qualifies him to be apostle. He comes, he wants to teach, he's teaching and teaching. But when he goes to the disciples, the leaders of the land at this time, they're afraid of him because they can remember not only 3 years ago, he was killing Christians. He was doing things to Christians that are inhumane and just awful. And they were like, we just can't trust this guy. We just can't trust this guy. But along comes Barnabas, and he's witnessed all these things that have been being good and fruitful through Paul and his new conversion of a Christ-speaking Christian. He says, come on with me, bro, right? I got an idea. I'm going to take you to the apostles directly, to Peter and John. So Barnabas literally pours in to Paul, believes in Paul, takes him to the apostles. The apostles take Barnabas' word, and there they go forward. And now Paul becomes the author of some 16 books in the New Testament, more books in the New Testament than any author in the New Testament at all. Think about the whole story there in that regards. Without Barnabas, we probably don't have any of this. And so that's what inspired me to talk to you about investing in people. if Barnabas doesn't pour into Paul, who used to be Saul, where are we at right now? So the challenge yesterday was, who are you pouring into? And so I just wanted to give you the three things about pouring into people, about investing into people. We covered them yesterday. And so I want you to believe, endorse, empower. So if you're taking notes, believe, endorse, empower. So I want you to think about somebody in your life right now. And we're going to move on to opportunities today. And we're going to make this a wrap. But who in your life can you believe in? Who in your life needs you to step beside them and believe in them? Who in your life do you know out there is really working hard, trying to get your attention, trying to get somebody's attention, trying to break out from a family life that maybe wasn't so good, trying to break out from a reputation that probably wasn't too good, trying to even break out of jail or a criminal? I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, Paul was the worst of worst. Saul was literally killing, murdering Christians. Barnabas got up beside him and believed in him, believed in his story, bro. It was Barnabas' idea, right? It was Barnabas' idea to endorse, to invest. So here's the thing. First number thing, think about that person. And if you don't have one, I want you to start to look for somebody. I can think of, I'm kind of proud of myself. When I started doing this exercise, I could think of five people right now. And if you count the people that I'm coaching, you know, I'm getting somewhat paid for, but at the end of the day, I mean, I'm pouring into them as well. But I can think of a lot of people over my lifetime that have poured into me, and I can think of a lot of people right now I'm pouring into. So here are the steps I want you to do when you're when you're pouring into somebody, when you're investing into somebody. One is, first and foremost, you need to believe, right? You have to believe in that person. And how do you believe in that person? Number one, you have to demonstrate power. You have to demonstrate the power that you want to pour into them. So if you want to give them power, if you want to invest in them, that means you want to invest in them to be successful. You want to invest in them to be good people. You want to invest in them to have this power of goodness and successful nature. And the first way you do it is to believe in them. And how do you believe in them? You do it through demonstration of power. I believe in this person. I tell them, I demonstrate to them that I believe in them. I demonstrate some acts that I have done that are good. I demonstrate with them maybe a ride along. I got a student of mine who's just phenomenal. He's going to kick my ass all over the world one day. I mean, when it comes to business and all that, I mean, he's just amazing. I mean, he's done amazing things. And his name is Stefan. He's just literally, I'll just tell you, he's 30 years old and I just can't believe. He calls me. He says, listen, I want to come to Florida. I want to ride around with you. Come on, man. You're so busy. You got all these businesses. And no, we're kicking, you know what? And we're doing great. But I literally want to come down. I want to ride around with you. So I believe in Stefan. I believe in that movement. I believe in him. I'm demonstrating. I'm showing him the power that I do have or the influence that I do have and showing him the goodness I have in it. Number one, believe. Number two, endorse. So I need to endorse Stefan. I need to endorse my children. I need to endorse my employees. Whoever I'm investing into, I not only need to believe and demonstrate my power to them, for them, through them, with them, but I need to endorse them. I need to be public. I need to say Stefan's name. I need to say son-in-law's name, Derek. I need to say Sam. I need to say Heather. I need to say Abby. I need to say Jeannie. I need to praise these people in my life that I am investing into. I need to literally not be afraid to say, these are my people. I need to endorse them. They need to see my power being transferred and showing and proven. And then they need to see me saying, I love you. I endorse you. I support you. I want you in my life. I'm going to share you with my tribe or my influence, the things that I have out there. So one, I believe in you. And two, I need to endorse you. I want you to be better than me. I want to endorse the fact that you have got better skill sets than me, Heather. I want to endorse you that you got more skills and crafts in me and the things that we're creating. Stefan, I want you to know that I am telling the world that you're next level at what you do because I see, believe in you. I'm endorsing. And number three, when you're investing in somebody, I want you to empower them. I want you to literally empower them. How do you empower somebody? One of the, I think, most aggressive moves my father ever made with me as a young man was when he put me to work. And then he came in and worked for me. I was in charge, so I had to tell everybody there that was working what to do and how to do it and be a leader. And he let me lead him. My mentor let me lead him. It's probably the most difficult piece of investing into people, if you ask me, and you ask me my investment protocol. And I'm not easily good at it, but I was literally sitting at lunch yesterday with Stefan. We hadn't spoken several weeks. He's been traveling and building a stinking empire. And we had a point in our meeting where I just sat back and I listened. And he gave me advice. He told me what to do. You know, I just love it. But the truth of the matter is, I'm not good at it. And those are the things that I think you need to understand when you're trying to invest into people. The first thing I want you to understand is we are called to invest in people because we're wired differently. That we're misfits of this world. And that Barnabas literally invested into Paul, who was Saul, a Christian killer, put his own reputation on the line, and did these three principles to build and to invest into probably the one of the greatest, if not greatest, biblical figures in the Bible. Literally wrote more books in the Bible than John, Luke, Paul, or Mark. You're right. Wrote literally almost half of the New Testament. It wouldn't have happened if Barnabas wouldn't have invested into him. I know it's just a little scripture, Acts 9:27. Read it yourself. But here's the thing. Tomorrow we're going to talk about this, but here's the thing. It almost didn't happen. You are called to invest in somebody, bro. It needs to be your idea to go invest into somebody. You need to listen to Judah the Barracuda, my grandson, and go to Target, damn it. Get in the truck and go invest in these children, invest in this time, invest in these employees, invest in somebody in your life, because tomorrow we're going to talk about how Judah the Barracuda looked at opportunities and why it was his idea and how we're looking for people like a Judah. But today I want to close out with this. I want you to understand, I want to close with a very clear directive for you today, because tomorrow we're going to go through Acts 9:26 about this opportunity. But we need to close the door right on this. I want you to find somebody in your life. I want you to think about somebody in your life. I want to make sure that you're investing in them. And I want you to invest them in these three points, these three ways. And I want you to do it the way I'm teaching you to do it. Because if you do this, you will convert yourself and them into the holy vested peace of the Holy Spirit, right? I want you to understand that the way Barnabas did it is the right way. Because did you realize on the first missionary journey that Barnabas went on was with Paul, and Barnabas literally worked for Paul? Barnabas believed in Paul. Barnabas showed Paul his own power, demonstrated his own power, was open to him with his own power. Barnabas then endorsed Paul. He literally gave way. He really powered into him. He showed him how to do things. He mentored to him. He literally went places with him and put his name on him and said, "This is my guy, Paul. I believe in him. Where he goes, I go. He will not fail. I endorse Paul, who was Saul, a Christian murderer, but he's not any longer. I believe in him. I endorse him. I put my stamp of approval on him publicly on the Twitter, Twitter, Facebook, and the Instagram. Barnabas was out there selling out to all that. And last but not least, he empowered him by teaching him and mentoring him, but he ultimately then took directions from him. The greatest form of empowerment, the greatest form of investment, the greatest form of endorsement and belief is to literally take command from those people that you have invested into and lift it up. That is a Christian way. Please take these three things: believe, endorse, and empower. Who's that person? All right, it's the end of another show. It's Tuesday. Tomorrow's Wednesday. We're going to take on Acts 9:26 tomorrow. Seize that opportunity. We're going to talk a little bit about Judy again. But listen, today I want you to go to wireddifferently.com. Buy your sweatshirt. Buy your t-shirt. Buy your hoodie. Listen, come on. I want you to wear your faith. This mindset, mission, and movement is here for you to share the gospel, to share your belief structure. Most of these shirts are not overt in what they say or what they do. They're like the shirt in the background. They're just something once in a while you can throw on and share your faith with. Come on now, somebody. We wear our Detroit Lions jerseys all the time. We got our Indiana Pacers jerseys on. I saw that this Caitlin, the basketball player going to the Pacers, the young lady who set all the records, sold more t-shirts than the entire Dallas Cowboys sold in the previous year. She sold more t-shirts than the entire Cowboys sold last year alone in one day. Can you imagine if we could just band together and have Wired Differently shirts, sharing the gospel, sharing our belief structure in a cool way, just kind of sharing it with the world. Anyways, the mindset, mission, movement, and ministry that we're pushing here and sharing with you and growing you spiritually, personally, and properly with is Wired Differently. So get to wireddifferently.com. And the promo code is Wired15. Wired15. You want to buy a t-shirt, a sweatshirt. The prices are already stupid cheap because we're still building the site out. But if you put in the promo code, after you select your purchase, go into promo code and hit Wired15, you get another 15% off. So good things. A lot of you out there have bought sweatshirts and t-shirts. We appreciate the support. We still got other things coming to help grow this mindset, mission, ministry. We're going to be sharing it in this movement with all of you. God bless you guys. Have a great day. I'm going to speak to Angola High School, to Athletes in Action, and I am so excited to share my testimony today. So I'll take your prayers. Have a great day, and I can't wait till tomorrow. You guys are awesome.
This has been the Wired Differently Experience. WDE.